Good evening, comrades and friends. First, on behalf of the Central Committee of Workers' World Party, we would like to extend our fraternal greetings to the Communist Party of China on this historic occasion. I think it's relevant, even though our event is about China, to ask ourselves, what should we make out of the assassination of the leader of Hezbollah 2 days ago in Beirut? I think it's a warning to the world from the warmongers. This was so important to them, and I'm not forgetting the genocide in Gaza, but this event coming at this time, they dropped 80 bombs on a neighborhood in Beirut. 2,000-pound bombs. One of these military analysts on CNN said the only thing bigger they could have dropped would have been a tactical nuclear weapon. And these 2,000-pound bombs were given to Israel by who? Last October, the U.S. gave them thousands of them. I forget the exact number, but thousands of them. I do not buy for a second this idea that, well, we didn't know about it. They didn't tell, you know, the Secretary of War over here. I think that's BS. If they weren't down with it, they could have stopped it. The message was just not from Netanyahu. It was from Washington, D.C. It was from the Pentagon. And I'll tell you what I think is the relevance to China and the whole world. You know, everything in the world struggle is connected. Everything is dots all together. They wanted to let the world know that you don't have to speculate about a wider war. You don't have to lie to us about we don't want one and we're having all this diplomacy trying to stop it. That's not what's really going on. The wider war is already here. It's already here, comrades. It's not just against the Palestinians. Although they're the main target of it now, it's not just Hezbollah and the Lebanese and, you know, the resistance forces in West Asia. And of course, Iran, you know, it's against People's Korea, Cuba, Venezuela, the struggling people of Africa, who, as you might notice recently, have been throwing the colonialists and the imperialists out. And it's against Russia through the Ukraine. And ultimately, it's against China. It's against China. Why? Why is this? Is it because China supports the Palestinians? That's part of it, but that's a small reason. China has on a number of occasions brought the Palestinian groups together to try to help them forge unity. Very, very important. But the bigger reason is because China is so powerful now. It's so powerful and so developed, and its people are rising up. And this has changed the balance of forces in the world. But we need to be very clear about something. China does not want war. China wants peace. It wants to continue its development in peace. It wants to help the world develop in peace, especially the people of the global South who have been the big victims of imperialism and colonialism. It wants to help them. But U.S. imperialism does not want peace. It doesn't want China to develop in peace. It doesn't want the world that it does not control to develop. And this is the problem. And what this murder in Beirut tells us, and the almost 1,000 people who have been murdered in Lebanon over the past couple of weeks and the genocide in Gaza, what it tells us is that U.S. imperialism is willing to go to almost any lengths, unimaginable lengths of violence and terror to maintain its empire, which is crumbling. They're willing to flirt with World War III, which could mean the end of all life on planet Earth. And you know, when an empire is crumbling, that's when it's most desperate and dangerous. That's when it's most likely to resort to violence. And this is what we're witnessing, comrades. There are some in the ruling class here who are afraid of war, a wider war, a world war. They don't think the U.S. will win. As a matter of fact, they think it will hasten the demise of U.S. imperialism, and we think that they're right about that. And they'd like to maintain U.S. hegemony by other means, you know. But comrades, whoever that is in the ruling class, they're losing. They're not winning. They're not in the driver's seat. It's the warmongers who are in the driver's seat. And so we see the people rising up all over the world against the empire. We see the people demonstrating in the streets over the murder of the leader of Hezbollah. Actually, as I was leaving home, I saw on social media that there was a demonstration of thousands of people in Baghdad. They had entered the green zone and were trying to get into the U.S. embassy. And I'm sure you've heard about the demonstration everywhere, particularly in West Asia, but around the world. Shows you that, you know, this is a punch, but they're not going to take it lying down. As a matter of fact, it's going to wave on the resistance. And of course, the countries that are under attack, in particular China, that are in the crosshairs of U.S. imperialism, they're going to fight back. They can defend themselves. They can defend themselves. But we have to ask ourselves this, comrades. Are we going to just leave it up to people in other places, to China? They're willing to do it. They'll do what they have to do. But are we just going to leave it up to them? Especially those of us who happen to be at the centers of world imperialism, particularly here in the U.S., which we used to call the belly of the beast. We can't do that. That's not right. We have to seriously consider what our responsibilities as anti-imperialist revolutionaries are. And we have to shoulder that responsibilities. And we've got to do whatever it takes. You see, the people of the world, they're demanding this of us. History is demanding us. Saving this planet, if it could talk, it is demanding this of us. That we do whatever is necessary, however we need to do it, however long it takes, and it better not take too long for the anti-imperialist, anti-war forces to get so big and so strong that we can shut the world down to stop war. What other choice do we have? We've got to get away from complacency if that's an issue. I know that those of us here are doing on a day-to-day basis whatever we can. We've got to get away from, you know, our routine, what they call routinism. Well, you know, it's almost like a semi-conscious feeling that, yes, that needs to be done, but somebody else can do it. Sometimes I think we have a partial kind of disconnect, a partial denial of what's happening, perhaps because we feel somewhat powerless. But all those things, we got to push them aside now. We got to push them aside, and we got to figure out what we're going to do. I think, I'm not sure, that Comrade Maduro in Venezuela a couple of months ago call for an international united front against imperialism. I'm not sure whether it's just something that he floated or whether it was real and how he's following up on that. But I'll tell you, comrades, if there was ever a time for that, and I'm not talking about just a name. It's easy to have a name. I'm talking about something with flesh and blood and strength and power that's real. If there was ever a time for that, it's now. I think in about a month from now, the BRICS, the BRIC countries, are meeting in Russia last week of October. And that's good. And, you know, people have talked about it from this podium, and we could talk about that. But again, we can't just leave it up to the BRICS to push U.S. imperialism back, to marginalize it, to diminish its hegemony. We've got to do something. The masses have to do something. The working class has to do something. They have to do something decisive, and a lot of us are convinced that they can, and those who are not convinced better get with it. Long live the People's Republic of China. Long live the struggle for socialism. Defend China.